You are now tuned into The Latina Theory, a Spanglish podcast, Sin Vergüenzas, hosted by yours truly, Maria Isa, La Boricua, and Ariana Henis, La Chicana, who is unable to be here today. But we have a special segment in regards to Latino arts and the Twin Cities art scene. I'd like to have each of my guests who are here for our special Q&A episode to introduce themselves as well as their position in the arts here in the Twin Cities. And it's an honor to have each and every one of you. To my left, we have
Elsa Vega Perez. I'm sort of a community activist. I'm currently retired, so I'm taking on special projects. And my interest tonight is to talk about the Ordway's efforts to promote and include diversity in their genre, and in particularly the concerns that we have around West Side Story, which is typical, stereotypical, and then the casting has never reflected who we are as people. So I'm here as an advocate for them and sort of giving them some interest on how to best represent us.
We also have joining us today
Rebecca Crisanta de Ibarra. I'm an emerging interdisciplinary postmodern folk artist and curator, co-founder of Electric Machete Studios and Gallery, which uplifts Latino arts, both traditional and contemporary, within the Twin Cities.
Along joining us is
Rebecca Moran Cusick, the director and founder of Los Alegres Bailadores.
Wonderful. I'm aware of everybody's contributions towards the Latino arts movement, specifically in our communities. But my question for you is, and each of you, and feel free to answer, whoever wants to ring the buzzer first, how do you feel the movement has grown? You know, when did that movement of the doors opening for Latino artists to be taking their place center stage start, in your perspective? Hence, you know, we're now opening doors to the Latinx generation, but to someone who is unfamiliar of what the Latino art scene is here and when it started, how would you describe that?
I would say that it hasn't yet. The doors have not yet opened up. As somebody who, I'm not an administrator. I've stepped into the role as administrator because we don't have enough systematic support. There's systematic inequity that keep Latino or Latinx artists from succeeding. And so as someone who speaks with funders, I've recently learned that Latinos are statistically the category of people who are not applying to grants, meaning that either we don't know about opportunities in our community, or we don't have the skills, or we're not confident enough in our own skills to come to the table and be able to negotiate and say, I have this project, I am a professional artist, I deserve funding and support or exhibition space or a performance space for my piece.
Becky, do you want to say something? I'll just, what you think about it, you know, because I do think that I experienced the doors opening to Latino arts. Back in the day, we've always had our own that we orchestrated amongst our community. So, Becky, you've been around for so long, you know?
Right.
And we have to do ourselves, so we didn't wait for them to give us the door, but the door hasn't opened, but we've been doing our own thing.
And just to tag on that, yes, that's why I'm looking back at generations of my grandparents and my parents' time, and the doors weren't open for them. They pushed the doors open.
Exactly.
And it's just a crack, if that makes any sense. It's just a little space there. It needs a long way to go, but it did start.
Excuse me.
And with my grandparents first arriving here, and then my family of arts, with between well, many family members that were in the arts that were the first of many artists to create here in Minnesota. So there was an opening there, and so I, and coming as another generation, was able to get through that crack. But was it easy? No. There's so many hoops to go through, and so much that you don't know, and you learn along the way, but there needs to be a better way to educate and to reach out to our people of how we can get there in a much easier way.
What are certain ways, you know, you've been an organization, your organization has been around for over 25 years. What have been certain ways that you have, the cracks are open, but that you've literally pushed through or been determined and focused to continue your art form in the community, regardless of who's giving you a key into those spaces or not? Can you give us an experience?
I just feel that when Los Alegres first started, it was small and intimate, and it was mostly for our community, our family, our parish, that it was just a small, who we reached out to. And it took time to go further than that. And yes, those stereotype of thinking of others, of, you know, back in this, now we're going 40 years back and when we first started, and, you know, talking to people that maybe wanted a program and dancers to come. Well, how many would you bring? Well, it'd be about 20 youngsters coming. And could hear the hesitance in their, you know, the phone call. It's like, what were they thinking? Like, 20, too many Mexicans in one place? I mean, think 40 years ago. I mean, I was one Latina in my school of 1,400 students.
Wow.
You know, that's kind of crazy. And my brother, of course, in a different grade, but in my grade. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those were the little things that you, maybe nothing was said. It was the silence that was there that kind of made you think, what are they thinking?
The Minnesota Nice.
You know? Yeah. And I don't know if it was, I never tried to take it personal, because they were learning as well. That people that are here, the American people that were here and have been here, and then bringing in the Latinas or having us come more and more, whatever culture is coming is more and more. We all need to learn about each other's culture, and every culture new that came here, everybody was, you know, now I shouldn't say everybody, but many are hesitant and don't know, and what you don't know about a culture, you seem to be hesitant about it. So you want to learn. And I think that's the key. The people are changing more to wanting to learn about your culture or that culture. I know I do in other cultures that are around now. That,
you know, and that seems to be the critical thing about us not having that door open any bigger. You know, it's like it's that slide, it's a little slide creak on the door, just a little bit. But I think that if we were able to include in curriculums in schools with majority children about the diversity in that classroom, and now in classrooms you have the minority, the majority. You know what I mean? You have children of color in charter schools. So that whole lack of understanding about our culture increases the resistance to learn, and increases racism and discrimination in the classroom. So that's, I think, an area that we need to maybe help towards opening those doors.
It's very frustrating at times because, you know, I was raised in the community where, as obviously, you're my mother, and I've seen, you know, the role that in the sacrifices that you made to push those doors so that we can be involved. And same with Becky. You guys within Los Alegres and growing up in El Arcoiris, we've seen and supported one another. Mm-hmm. Where at times with funding, and now that going into my 30s, I'm like, and applying for these grants that don't have as many of our brown faces applying, I get a little frustrated at the fact that we have to go against one another. Mm. That our organizations or even individual artists, which is why I love, you know, when Rebecca and Felipe and Tanya Balam curated Electromachete Studios, the force was that we're a collective, and you know we come together, and if we're going adelante, we're all going adelante, and the community here showcases that. But I feel as it's growing, and outside of just like the West Side, it has a division because people are scared that they're going to lose their resources. Mm-hmm. And to me as an artist, I go, well, you can't be scared of what you don't have. you have to have, you know, courage and be encouraged to go get even more from what we make. Mm-hmm. And I think that passion is delivered within the artists that do come together, because we've seen the enchilada dinners to provide in taco sales and pastelillos and the church fundraisers to make sure that we had instruments and dresses. But it's separating in these times because people are, like you said, they're not encouraged to learn about one another. It's divided. And So I think it's an important role for arts institutions that have already been established that are recognizing that we need, that they need us, because their ticket sales are depending on our gente, whether it's theater, the movies, music venues, but yet their staff isn't encouraging or offering, or their organization and their H&R isn't allowing us to be a part of that so that we can encourage that to be our space. So we have to develop our own still, but how do we sustain?
One of the things that when I was on the board of directors for the Ordway, we never had a Latino Sally representative. Sally Ordway is the, you know, main protagonist of the Ordway, and they have the Sally Awards where they recognize artists. And when I was on the board, there was none. And then I started saying, you know, there's where you could start. You could start finding our audience. You could find us doing non-traditional theater work, or and include them in your panel. And fortunately, Rebecca, you're a Sally, and Maya Lopez Santa Maria is a Sally, and I can't think of his name right now. There's a gentleman. Gutierrez, I think is his name, right? He's also
Armando
Gutierrez, yes. So we have three Ordways, you know. He's a painter, you're a dancer, Maya's a singer. I mean, it just kind of did a good realm of that. But they can't just stop there and say, okay, we've got them. So now the Ordway is bringing in West Side Story. And I'd like your opinions on West Side Story, because when West Side Story came out, none of the actors, except for Rita Moreno, was in the movie. And in the theater, Chita Rivera were in the movie. They were the only two, didn't play the main character. And they were, and for the movie, Rita was made, she was given color for her character. And she kept saying, why are they painting me up, you know?
And her skin tone was more olive.
Yeah.
And they made her more brown.
Brown, yeah. And so that was something that she was concerned about in the theater, because apparently the directors and the producers had no clue of what a Puerto Rican was. So there's two angles to this. One is the stereotype that we have to face, but then again, we want to be part of a mainstream theater company that dances and sings, and it's about us. How do you feel about that? Come on, Rebecca. I'm sure you have a feeling.
I'm not Puerto Rican, mm-hmm. so I don't want to speak
But that's precisely why, because it's about theater. It's not about the. It just happens. It's a Romeo and Juliet, mm-hmm. and that they use the Puerto Ricans and the Irish,
the Polish,
to be the characters.
Where I can relate and have an issue is from my own experience, in that our people need to be able to tell our own stories. And while the West Side Story is a classic, it is deeply rooted in racism and the history of New York City, which was not a happy place and time for that story to come out. It didn't reveal the real stories that were underneath it. And coming here, it feels like a token to say, well, the Ordway is now doing something for the Latino community, but it isn't necessarily what we as a community want to go to. So if that's the approach to try to diversify audiences or to diversify the stage, I would argue that it's not an effective strategy for diversifying.
I want to go off of Rebecca. West Side Story, classic, right? Epic of Broadway. Leonard Bernstein. I've been a fan. My name's Maria, so I was born, you know, to the song. But I also recognize I am Puerto Rican. My family are Puerto Ricans from New York. My father and my mother were children who went to the play, and the stories of my tías, who, you know, it was a platform for them to be going, oh, we're at the movie theater now. Oh, they are naming Puerto Ricans. But at the same time, there was only one Puerto Rican in the whole film and the theatrical production. Yes, it's like, where are we? But that's also, to me, just a little crack in the door that we started the conversation. It was a way for us to, here we are, because without West Side Story, we wouldn't have the first Latina to have a Academy Award and a Tony Award and a Grammy and an Emmy and all the amazing highlights that Rita made, and someone who's also contributed to not just the Puerto Rican community but the Latino community in Hollywood, and made it a platform to say, I'm going to sacrifice my dignity so that we can build our own pyramids one day. And reading her autobiography, I became a little bit more sensitive than having to say X on West Side Story, but they need to offer those roles to our people now.
Well, and that's what I would like to know. I don't have anything to say yet of your main question, Elsa, but what, the door was opened back with Rita. Okay, now West Side Story is here. What are the cast members that are in West Side Story right now? That's what I would like to know. I don't know that answer. So did they?
Yes.
Has the door opened, so it's not just a crack, it's not just a sliver, it's a little bit more? Are there now? Because
it's a little open. I'm not going to say that it's the best way. I agree with you, Rebecca, that it's still not at the level that we need it to be. And that there may be some privilege that they assume that whatever it is that they do is good enough. Okay, so I'm going to clarify that. But yes, they have. The main Latino and Latina roles are of Latino descent. I don't know if they're Puerto Rican, but they're Latinos.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did their local auditions here before they went searching else. So when they opened up the auditions, they opened it up for cast members in the Twin Cities. We have some local Latinas performing in the show, and I think they went to New York and went in Ohio, I think they went, and they did recruit people. So we're seeing more ethnic, racially relative people in the show. Mm-hmm. It still will cause a stereotype, because I remember back in the day, and some of my coworkers have shared with me that when the movie came out, the theater came out, they were saying all Puerto Ricans carry knives, you guys don't, mm-hmm. you know, so all of the typical stereotypes are there.
Mm-hmm.
Given, doors are still not open, it's still operating from a from a, as an oppressor that they don't realize yet. So I think that that's true.
So what do we do about that? I mean, what do, because West Side Story is a classic, and I love the story. I love the music.
It's great.
It was something that I saw when I was very young. Now I haven't really seen it to look at it through different eyes either. So, you know, I need to do that. But what I was trying to get at is it opened a door for other people of Latina descent to come and be part of it. And it's a classic. So what do we do? Do we no longer see this because it is stereotype?
I want to see
classic?
It. I love it.
You know, how do you work with
I
that, though?
I want to answer for Becca, though.
You know, because
me and Becca went to see the local and participated in the local kind of outreach of that they were doing through Teatro del Pueblo, because they combined forces specifically with trying to bring more of ourselves to the platform and our stories to the stage. This is like their test baby, because it's safe, I feel like. We use that word safe. They're not gonna, they still want, you know, the gringo vibe in the Ordway that's comfortable for them to speak in Latinos, which what's comfortable to them is Leonard Bernstein. What's comfortable to them is the West Side Story Broadway scene. But they developed a program with Teatro del Pueblo and Al to be able to bring in certain actors and artists that they've worked with within their 20 years, 25 years. So it's still safer, though. You still got, you know, the main... Look, has there ever been a black or brown president at the Ordway?
No.
There's been one woman?
Yeah.
Yes. We're still part of these cultural committees where when I sit down now, I'm like, man, this was... You guys kind of froze. Where you been at? Because I was a little girl when my mother was bringing me to these board meetings. And where are we going to go so that her daughters have an opportunity to feel that we can be the president of the Ordway if we want to?
See, what I fear most is that the Ordway will do this outreach to the Latino community and give us discount tickets to go to the shows so that we're comfortable. Given today's demographics, the Latinos don't go to theater. Mm-hmm. The Latinos would rather go to your show, to an exhibit for them, or to go hear the bandas and the rancheros y eso that are $70 and $80. So I don't think it's the cost of a ticket. It's the interest.
Where are you at,
too? The investment.
It's the investment in the community. Mm-hmm. Where are you marketing at? Is the Ordway at Los Alegres by Week? We're present at International Children's Day with our groups and our grupitos. And Becca's, I've seen you curate and exhibit your artwork. I've obviously been contracted by the Ordway just this weekend to help promote bringing more Latinos to there. Good. We're at a light switch.
We're starting again.
But we're starting again. Mm-hmm. And so you're investing, billboards in certain areas, but I don't see one here. I don't see one on Lake Street where the majority of Latinos are. And what about workshops in our schools that aren't just happening when they're bringing a play, but throughout the year? My question is, when they ask us, well, where are you? Who do we go to? And we're like, well, we've had these established networks in these doors at the Ordway for years. You need to not just bring us in for, a lunch seminar and stipend. Like I said, we need to be fully active year-round.
Well, that's the problem, is that we're so often used, and it's not just our community, it's all communities of color and indigenous communities. We're tokenized. So they bring us in to say, check, we have diversity. We can now promote this to our larger funders to say that we are doing our work. Mm-hmm. But being Maria, when we were in those audition rooms that were outreach to the community, that was really beautiful to have that on the ground encouragement to people in a language that you could understand, with a face that was familiar. Yet it was immediately clear that the Latinos who were in the room, who were doing their very best did not have the skill set to be in that room. And that is not the artist's fault. That is a systemic inequity where we're just like you're saying, there isn't enough training or interest from elementary age and on up. And it's not enough to say we've opened the doors or we auditioned for Latinos to be on the stage. And they couldn't cut it. They didn't have the skills. There has to be a structural, systemic plan that says we are going to carve out space and time and money for Latinos or for, you know, African Americans or Native artists to come up in this community, and rather than, like you're saying, being a one-time thing, it has to be by and for and with the people.
Andrew Ramerson with Rent, who directed Rent and a few years ago that I started, his goal and mission was, I want a diverse class. I'm not going to bring in the people I had in these little workshops who are great, but they don't look like the characters, and they're not represented. They're not Latino. If you don't have a white woman playing Mimi, who's Puerto Rican from the Lower East Side, you don't have a white guy playing a black man who is the tenant, and that role is to signify I'm a black man who's a tenant. And he had so many people auditioning, and he took the time to work with each artist. He made that development platform so that if we didn't have the Broadway vocal instruction that everyone else at the door had, he made sure that we were getting that in an amount of time to make it happen. And I like that he's pointed that out.
And so what are we doing? The Ordway has partnered with Al Justiano to do exactly that, to start increasing the talent pool so that we're able to make those auditions and not go away and, you know, well, we tried, you know, because then they say, oh, we tried, they didn't have the skill sets. We know we don't have the skill sets, let's get the skill sets. That's what we're working on. So they are now doing the West Side Stories.
And In the Heights, an audition for In the Heights that just happened yesterday, and they're opening up more auditions for the first week in April, which is great. And In the Heights is a representation of where we are at now. It has, you know, Boricuas, Dominicanos, Mexicanos, Colombianos. It really reflects as us as this merging, and we're not all the same, but we're all in for our cause.
And it talks about immigration. It's a play on immigration.
It's a play on immigration.
About the immigration of the Dominicans.
And how many of our local people know that this is happening?
That's exactly it. We know because we're
one
dance.
Of the largest group dance groups, and I only found out because I talked to Al yesterday
with the West Side
Story about the West Side Story situation, and that's the only reason why I know that this In the Heights was coming up. But no, you're talking about it. You know about it. You knew about it.
I found out yesterday too,
but because they called it to audition, I knew that.
What happened? You know where? So this is the lack of the lack of getting out to their local people and our schools. The churches, the schools, the rec centers, the boys and girls clubs. Those are
the television programming, radio programming.
Yes.
There's a pattern of and I see it across disciplines. I definitely see it in the visual art world, but I think even more so in theater, that artists of color who make it to a certain level have to sacrifice their identity along the way. So you are forced to assimilate, drop your accent, dress a certain way, communicate a certain way, in order to be accepted as being a professional artist. And the ones who have made it past that threshold are those artists who have been privileged to a certain extent in one way or another to have theater in their schools, and to have the encouragement to continue on that path. So if we're having all the young dancers in our community they already have the skills to dance on stage, but they don't even know about these opportunities, then they're not part of those networks. You have to start so young to be put on that fast track to that kind of a theater stage.
Mm-hmm. And esteem, self-esteem. You know, I have a cousin who's Ojibwe and Puerto Rican, and I remember when he was in high school, he wanted to audition for Purpage. and he put together his routine. And his form of, he knew bomba and Afro-Cuban music, and that came at you as well as Ojibwe traditional dances. But when it came to that audition in front where he told me it was all white women, and he didn't make it because of the fact that he didn't have their etiquette and training. But they failed to recognize the etiquette and training that he does have developed in his form of dances. And I see that that is the same criteria for artists, even as ourselves, that we have to face. How our dialect, how our diction is announced, whether we're acting, dancing, you know, production-wise. And it's very uncomfortable to know that that's still what's in force. Because how do we encourage our students to go to those auditions, knowing that that's what they're going to face, but we don't have that same etiquette and training.
Yeah, I guess I hear what Becca you're saying. You know, how do we know about it? How do you know? And that seems to be a fault. There's a gap there for information, and they should take responsibility for that. The Ordway needs to be responsible, or any institution needs to take the responsibility of getting the word out. Not that we couldn't find you, not we don't know where you are. You got to find us. You got to know where we are. They need to hire us so that we can tell them where we are, or on a consultant basis, tell them where we are. You know what I mean? But they need to take much more of an aggressive role to make it more inclusive.
We're going to take a little break here. So we're going to play celebrating Selena, who her tragic passing is the anniversary coming up. But in 1997, before she was tragically killed, she recorded a rendition of A Boy Like That for the West Side Story Broadway tour in honoring of Latinos on Broadway and Rita Moreno. So here is Selena Quintanilla Perez with A Boy Like That.
Like that. Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
We are going to continue our discussion in regards to our identity in cultural arts at institutions. It's not just the Ordway, it's everywhere. It's a national wave.
I just want to give a little plus to the Ordway because they are bringing in the West Side Story. They understand the controversy around it, and they want to sort of create a community dialogue so that they don't continue to make mistakes and we don't isolate ourselves from the theater.
Mm-hmm. We wanted to discuss about change within those doors as well as what it means for fellowships in the institutions. Rebecca, you were explaining on our break a little something in regards to how we can gain more fellowships or what it's going to take for us to be able to have these fellowships in these institutions of arts.
Well, we were talking about what does it mean to institutionalize support. And to institutionalize support, it means that there has to be everyday commitment to Latino people or to people of color, from everything from marketing to trainings and arts learning for little ones, and yes, still the discounted tickets and all of that, but also reserving structurally within the program of the institution, reserving spaces to say, no matter what, we can have 100 dancers, but we're going to have at least this number of dancers are going to be dancers of color. But of course, then there's other issues that come into place because usually families of color have less means. We have less money, we're working harder, we have less time and less resources. And so it's hard to just jump into something and feel like, you know what, I think I'm going to try doing theater now. It's not something you can just do on a whim. You have to see if you can have your house paid and your rent paid and there's food in your baby's mouths. And one way, one idea, we were just talking about ideas of how it could be institutionalized, that there's support for artists of color, would be to form a fellowship. And a fellowship would mean that it's a paid position, like an internship, like a job. But it's a paid job where you get to learn theater. And in that way, it's an investment in our community, it's an investment in the arts, and it's also an investment in the future of the organization to have high-quality, trained, professional artists in their organization who automatically fulfill their need for diversity, but in a real and deeply meaningful, authentic way.
Do you think now that we have the social media, do you think social media could help promote those concepts in creating better opportunities in theater?
I'd like to say social media is, you need social media for everything.
Yeah, because, you know, Becky was saying that, you know, how do we get that information out there?
There has to be investments, because just because it's accessible, social media is free, everyone can have an account, but how many people do you have following your account, and does your account outreach to those communities, because you have blocks and blocks and blocks. But I do believe that if there is an investment towards our platforms of social media, whether it's blogs, programming, hello, Latina Theory, shout out, we do connect with people who don't know about the resources that are out there. Our gente want this. They want to be engaged. And they're not ignoring these platforms. They're the ones that are pushing the button more than anybody else statistically on the radar. And so the data's there. It's just like Becca said, creating those fellowships, creating those budgets that are fueling.
You know, whenever they tell me that they don't have any money, I really get offended with that, because they should have the money. Then cut the Caucasian market and invested in our communities that you're outreaching.
Oh, but we do need the Christmas carol here every Christmas.
No, but it's true, because see, they've got this, so you got to understand the dynamics of the institution. And so when I'm on the board and I'm saying, what about this, what about this, they then explain to me that there's other residents. You have the orchestra, you have all the other residents that use
right.
the Ordway.
Right.
You have shows that sell. And they got to rely on shows that sell. The Ordway doesn't need to outreach to the Latinos to get them to come see West Side Story.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need it. They're worried about a protest in front of that place
mm-hmm.
because of the stereotype. They sell it. It's a great show. It's a fabulous show. If you don't politicize it and think of it in terms of oppression. You know, right now Puerto Rico is undergoing a bankruptcy.
Crisis.
There's a fiscal crisis. The health and human services have diminished in the island. Doctors are leaving. You know, that is something of concern to the Puerto Rican community. It should be a concern to the entire human rights efforts. But they don't take that into accord. You know what I mean? So they don't understand the political side of it, and they don't understand the because they know West Side Story sells. We don't need you know.
Well,
but
it's not just them as well. You know,
no, it's
even outside the arts. You have Puerto Rico, who's playing in the World Baseball Championship
yeah.
right now, and you have more people on the island that are dyeing their hair blonde because of this team doing their team thing than are showing up for protests and the fact that we are in a fiscal crisis. So it's just like where we can, you know, they have to paint now, they have to say roller, right? Are you going to brush your hair? Are you going to put rollers in it? Where are the people coming? Who they have in those positions to educate?
Right.
And we're getting towards the closing
sure.
of the segment. I just want to thank all of you for being here. If there's any information via social media, websites, please share where our listeners can learn or maybe continue to ask questions in regards to your program and opportunities for them to be engaged. Rebecca, you're with Los Alegres Bailadores. Where can people find you online?
We have our website, losalegresbailadores.com, and you can find information there.
And any upcoming shows happening in the Twin Cities?
We are performing at Dakota Library on April 22nd in the a.m.
Mm-hmm. Right on. And Rebecca DeSanta, live at EMS Studios. When can we find some more work of your individual work and Electra Machete?
Right now I'm working on recording music as Lady Shook. I'm hoping to have a project out in spring for new music. And with Electric Machete Studios, you can find us at www.electricmachete.com or on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We have a lot of upcoming exhibitions, parties with artists, local artists, emerging artists, and established artists. Our next exhibition is on March 31st with paintings by Chilam Balam, and we're working in collaboration with Sin Fronteras Farm and Food. It's an organic CSA to talk about uplifting farm workers and the history of the West Side being a community of farm workers, and also talking about the toxicity of the land around us as it relates to urban agriculture and the health of our food, of our bodies, and of our communities by maintaining our history.
Wonderful. And I'm honored to have my mom here as a guest, a special
Thank
guest
you.
Here on Latina Theory. Mommy, let us know a little bit more about West Side Story.
Yes.
I'm going to be there. I'm going to check
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, West Side Story, you guys got to come out. You got to, you know, promote the efforts that they have taken to include us, and that's really what I'm hopefully preparing to. I love the show. My son was Bernardo in high school, so I'm looking forward to seeing the performance this year again. And I want to remind the people it's at the Ordway Center for the Performing Arts, beginning April 4th until April 16th at 7 p.m. They have discount tickets for the Latino community at $35. So if you go online and you look for special tickets, there's a code name that you can put in there. So I hope to see you at the theater.
Well, you've heard it here, West Side Story at the Ordway. Show up and give your opinion. Show up and meet those who are in the positions of leadership there and let them know how you feel or how they can network and where, you know, if we don't show up, how are we going to make change? So let's show support specifically also to the Latino artists that have been casted and are here from our local Twin Cities. My name is Maria Isa. Shout out to my homegirl, La Chicana Ariana Hennis, who's
Hi.
Working strong on the campaign and making cambio. Our next Q&A session will be after Maria Hinojosa's lecture for National Hispanic Journalism Association on April 11th. Tune in, follow us at LatinaTheory.com and at Latina Theory on Twitter, Facebook, and love to Audio Boom. Thanks for having us on your platform, and we'll see you soon. Here is our closing song with America from West Side Story. Any last shout-outs? Any last segments? No?
No. See you at the theater.
We'll see you there. Mi gente, peace.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Girls here are free to have fun. She is in America now.
Puerto Rico is in America now.
Uy. Sometimes I don't know which is thicker, your skull or your accent.
Mm. Oh. Vámonos, muchachos.
Oh, no. Oh,
let them wait.
Is Maria all right?
I should be so all right.
It will not happen again. Pepe Indio. After tonight, things will be settled.
Where settled your stomach?
Never mind my stomach.
Well, I mind your nose and your head broken.
Broken?
Sure. They use Maria for an excuse to start World War III.
It is more than that.
More than what? She was only dancing.
With an American. It was really a Polak.
Says they speak.
You are not so cute.
That Tony is.
And he works.
A delivery boy.
And what are you?
An assistant.
Si, and Gino makes half of what the Polak makes.
Oh,
the Polak is an American.
Hey,
your mother's a Pole, your father's a Swede, but you
were born here. That's all that you need. You are an American. But us, foreigners!
Let's go!
Hey, but it's true! When I think of how I thought it would be for us here, we came like children, believing,
trusting with our hearts open,
with our arms open.
You came with your mouth open.
You did speak and you go back in handcuffs.
I'm going back in a Cadillac.
Air conditioned.
Built-in bar.
Telephone.
And television.
Compatible color.
If you had all that here, why would you want to go back to Puerto Rico?
Oh, even if you didn't have all that here, why would you want to go back to Puerto Rico?
Ah, it's so good here.
It's so good there. We had nothing.
Ah, we still have nothing. Only more expensive. Anita, Josefina,
no, no. It's plain Anita now. No, you leave me alone. At least I left. Once an immigrant, always an immigrant.
Hey, look. Instead of a shampoo, she's been brainwashed.
Stop it.
She's given a Puerto Rico and now she's queer for Uncle Sam.
Oh, no. That's not true.
Puerto Rico, my heart's devotion, let it sink back in the ocean. Always the hurricanes blowing, always the population growing, and the money owing, and the sunlight streaming. And the natives steaming. I like the island Manhattan.
I know you know.
Smoke on your pipe and put that in.
I like to be in America. Okay, by me in America. Everything free in America.
For a small fee in America.
Credit is so nice.
One look at us and they charge twice.
I have my own washing machine.
What will you have though to keep clean?
Skyscrapers bloom in America. Cadillac zoom in America. Industry boom in America.
12 in a room in America.
Lots of new housing with more space.
Lots of
door slamming in our face.
I'll get a terrace apartment.
Better get rid of your accent.
Life can be bright in America.
If you can fight in America.
Life is all right in America.
If you're all white in America.
Crime in America, organized crime in America, terrible time in America.
You forget I'm in America.
Go back to San Juan.
I know a boat you can get on. Bye-bye.
Everyone there will give big cheers.
Everyone there will have moved here.